Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's March 25th, 2014, and we were just talking this morning. I go, you know, somebody had said, mentioned something to us, and I went, wow, is it, I mean, there's almost a whole month of March is gone, and, I mean, we're in spring, and it's, I know it's snowing, you know, places where it shouldn't probably be snowing, but it's just another indicator that you can't, people have faith in the weather. They'll listen to a weather forecast and think they can do something. It could change. All depends on the weather. We're going to be in Proverbs 25 today, and it's interesting because this particular proverb, it's what it does is it gives us, again, wisdom on how to deal with relationships. And here are the people that it's going to be dealing with. Relationships with kings, with neighbors, with enemies, with yourself. Basically, that's what you have. So in other words, if we put it today, people in authority, our neighbors, our enemies, and ourselves. Kings can be translated as authority, people who are in authority over you. So giving us wisdom on how to deal with those people. I just want to read this to make sure that every time that we do get together, you get to hear the scriptures, because that's the most important part. I'm going to opine on them a bit and some kind of sidebar stories that fit right in with this, but follow along in Proverbs 25. These also are Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, transcribed. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and there comes out a vessel for the smith. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Do not claim honor in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of great men. For it is better that it be said to you, come up here, than that you would be put lower in the presence of the prince, whom your eyes have seen. Do not go out hastily to argue your case, otherwise what will you do in the end, when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor. Do not reveal the secret of another, lest he who hears it reproach you, and the evil report about you not pass away. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of his gifts falsely. By forbearance a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone. Have you found honey? Eat only what you need, lest you have it in excess and vomit it. Let your foot rarely be in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. Like a club and a sword and a sharp arrow is a man who bears false witness against his neighbor. Like a bad tooth and an unsteady foot is confidence in a faithless man in time of trouble. Like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar on soda, is he who sings songs to a troubled heart. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. It is better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Like cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a distant land. Like a trampled spring and a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. It is not good to eat much honey, nor is it a glory to search out one's own glory. Like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. The last verse talks about something interesting in dealing with ourself, and a man who has no control over his spirit. People have, for a long period of time now, talked about being spirit-filled, spirit-led, and there's a tremendous amount of people that say, hey, this is what the Spirit told me. The Holy Spirit told me this. The Holy Spirit told me that. They're led by the Holy Spirit. But in all reality, then if you just go crazy and you let loose and have no control, so you are able to not speak in tongues. People say, well, I can't control this. Well, that's not true. That is not true. In other words, a city that has broken walls or no walls and then is broken into, very simple to break into that kind of a city. You need a stronghold, and the stronghold comes with the Spirit of God restraining you, holding you back, and giving you the ability to be able to do that. We have a lot of people that are looking for a lot of answers in a lot of places, and they're changing things to fit themselves and how to deal with things and how to deal with everything that's going on in the world. Listen to what Ann Graham Lott said today. The scripture she has is Psalm 29:11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And she says this, do you feel overwhelmed and smothered by pressure? You know, how to deal with situations, how to deal with people, how to deal with yourself, how to deal with your kids, how to deal with your government, all this stuff is going on. Are you desperate for breathing room? Do you try to escape the stress through, now listen, an extended vacation? I tend to raise my hand with that one. Therapeutic counseling. Many people are counseling buffs. They go dirt all the time. Alcohol, very prominent. Drugs, very, very prominent. Entertainment, probably one of the more prominent things. Or a romantic liaison, and that is not necessarily with anything to do with your spouse. Do you do that only to find when you stop to assess your condition, you are no better than you were before because the pressure is from within? As a matter of fact, I'm going to add this to her statement. You'd be worse, and you can be worse, even after doing these stress relievers, okay? She says this, only God has the power to lift the pressure from within you. Your circumstances may remain the same, but he has the power to give you breathing room. He can give your spirit peace and rest, even as he gives you your life a new dimension. Just ask him. We have people that don't want to ask God. They don't expect God to actually hear them. They don't even know that God is real. As a matter of fact, the redefinition of God. Listen to this. Oh, man. Okay. This is old Brian McLaren. You know I've talked about him a lot over the years. Okay, so Brian McLaren, who is just trying to redefine everything. You know, he's the emergent church guru. The Time magazine calls him a premier evangelical pastor. Now, this is frightening if he is considered to be, by some, a premier evangelical pastor. He says that he's got a new year-long curriculum. McLaren's long list of other titles give the reader a pretty good idea what to expect from his latest offering. Everything must change, a new kind of Christianity, a new kind of Christian, the secret message of Jesus, naked spirituality, the Justice Project, finding our way again, adventures in missing the point. I mean, he thinks that he has completely cornered the market on answering the question of what we need to do. I'm going to read this according to this article by Wendy Whipple. It came up yesterday. According to Ryan, modern Christianity has pretty much everything wrong, and everything must change. Now, here we are looking, before we continue on with that article, we just read Proverbs that gives us wisdom about a lot of things, how to deal with our neighbors, how to deal with our enemies, how to deal with ourselves and dealing with what we're going through. how to deal with people in authority. You know, don't be pumping yourself up and making yourself bigger than you are. One of the people that has done that recently is Bill O'Reilly with his book Killing Jesus. He's pretty pompous. I just watched him this morning on Outnumbered on Fox, and he does have a command presence, and he's a very intelligent man. However, when he deals with something that he knows nothing about, now he knows about some practical applications of some things that are historical, and I'm not saying his whole book or movie that he supports and directs and everything is completely wrong. It's not. But what it does is it makes Jesus so much of a man that he almost obliterates the fact that he's God. As a matter of fact, I haven't seen it, but just listening to him speak, he really, really is emphasizing the humanity of Jesus. And that's a disservice because it's a different message than the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches that Jesus is unique. Not only is he unique, he is God, very God in human flesh. Very God in human flesh. And so he's missed some things that need really to be stated, and he doesn't state them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. John chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh. The Word was God. God became flesh. Jesus is God. And so when you miss that, you completely misinterpret everything. Well, what does old McLaren say that kind of lines up with everything old O'Reilly is saying? Okay. Our doctrine is wrong because there's no salvation through Christ's death. He says there's no virgin birth. There's no one way to heaven. The Bible's there, but it's archaic and barbarian. We do have church activities, but prayer meetings and potlucks need to be replaced by protest marches. Brian McLaren and his legions of very devoted followers unapologetically want to remake Christianity into what they call postmodern Christianity, a Christianity for the future of the now global society. And the catechism, or the teaching, and the basis, heavily saturated with inclusion, diversity, complete personal freedom, open-mindedness. You see, he agrees with the Pope. The Pope said that we all follow the same God. We just call him by different names. God is all about love and no rules and no judgment and no sin. That's the new Christianity. The new Christian better get on board. If you're not on board, then you're out to lunch. What's really, really odd is McLaren's Christianity is a social justice Christianity that avoids the man telling us what to do. It boils down to the man can't tell us what to do. We have freedom. We want aliveness. We want to be alive. That isn't what the Scripture teaches. He's taken a right turn and then done a squirrely wiggy around all kinds of corners and whoop-de-doodles, and he's going down some road that no one should go down. Because here's the problem. If you have a Christianity that avoids the man telling you what to do, then you also have a Christianity that rejects the right of Almighty God to tell us what to do, and we have to make Jesus just a man. Almost bring him down to the level of Gandhi, as it were. He's just a neat guy, interesting prophet. Folks, Jesus is God. Not was, but is. Was, is, and always will be. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha, the Omega. Jesus is God. I'm shocked that in my lifetime, it has turned from being able to say that in church and being universally accepted in the evangelical church as correct when you say that, to this point of my life, not even 40 years later in my Christian walk, pretty close to it, but not exactly, not being able to say that. And when you do say it in what would be considered an evangelical church, you're looked at like, what? That's a sad place, but I'll tell you what. It's a place that the enemy of our soul is really digging it. this article that Wendy Whipple, I knew a Whipple growing up, not the same one, but a Wendy Whipple, writes. She says something interesting. Well, I hate to say it, it is interesting, but that society demands the right to make up what we believe as we go along. They call it reimagining it. We reimagine it. Why? So they can feel alive. She writes, it's a lie from the seat of Satan, but he's a good liar. And a large majority of U.S. churches at this point have swallowed it or licking around the edges of it. She's from the Southern Baptist Convention. She says, my church belongs to the Southern Baptist Convention, and they have dabbled in some of the occultic practices, and it sounds good on the surface. Here's the problem. All-inclusiveness. Accept people as they are. Do not judge. Just say, do not judge. And the scripture actually says, do not judge for the same judgment. You should also be judged, but judge you. We need to look at people and go, okay, do I want my life to be like that? Or I'll look at what Jesus, I want my life to be what Jesus did because I want to do what Jesus did, what he told me to do, and I'm able to do that by the Holy Spirit who dwells in me. By the way, the Holy Spirit is God. So guess what? God dwells in you, union with your spirit. Unfortunately, there's a battle going on between you and God, whether you know it or not. And it's your soul wanting to do things to gratify your flesh, and your spirit is saying no. So we can build all kinds of cute little pictures, you know, a devil on one shoulder, an angel on the other. But the bottom line, aliveness is only in Christ. These people don't want to be alive. Matter of fact, if I read that, I got a couple minutes here, so I want to read it. This is what McLaren says. What we all want is pretty simple, really. We want to be alive, to feel alive. Not just to exist, but to thrive, to live out loud, to walk tall, to breathe free. We want to be less lonely, less exhausted, less conflicted or afraid. I'm having a hard time not reading this with emphasis like I'm doing, so I'll just try and read it. More awake, more grateful, more energized and purposeful. We capture this kind of mindful, overbrimming life in terms like well-being, shalom, blessedness, wholeness, harmony, life to the full, and aliveness. The quest for aliveness explains so much of what we do. It's why readers read and travelers travel. It's why lovers love and thinkers think. Why dancers dance and moviegoers watch. In the quest for aliveness, chefs cook, foodies eat, farmers till, drummers riff, fly fishers cast, runners run, and photographers shoot. The quest for aliveness is the best thing about religion, I think. It's what we are all hoping for when we pray. It's why we gather. Celebrate, eat, abstain, attend, practice, sing, and contemplate. When people say, I'm spiritual, what they mean is simple. I'm seeking aliveness. Now, I know I read a lot of that with my emphasis there. It's because I have a hard time reading that and not thinking that that is the way he's thinking. And then I almost want to be a wiseacre when I read it because it bothers me because it takes all the emphasis on Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, which we're about to celebrate his resurrection on Resurrection Sunday coming up. Every day should be Resurrection Day to us. But I read this kind of dribble, and I don't do well. I even sin when I read it because I want to smack the guy. It's just, I don't understand it. He says that eternal life actually means, many people, he said, they think eternal life means not going to heaven and not going to hell, okay? But he says it means to be alive, to be alive. Listen to what he says, many older religious people, I guess that's me, I don't know. But he says, Christians, Muslims, Jews, and others are paralyzed by sadness that their children and grandchildren are far from faith, religion, and God. But on some level, they realize that religion too often shrinks, starves, cages, and freezes aliveness rather than fostering it. See, there I go again. I'm reading it. Sorry about that. When they are beginning to see that the only future for religion is to become a friend of aliveness again. I mean, how can you not read that and put the emphasis that I did? Because to become a friend of aliveness, using words that aren't even words, I don't think. I'm not sure, but I don't think aliveness is a word. Where's Christ in that? Where's the blood? Where's repentance? Where's conviction? Where's the cross? Where's any repentance? Where's any of that? It's just all the income free, saying the kind of stuff that people want to hear to make them feel good about themselves, literally leading people down a road to hell. It's just so sad that this goes on, and yet it's really, really, really prevalent. It's not one or two people. It is a huge cross-section of what we would normally have referred to as the evangelical church, and it's going to get worse. Now, Ray and I were talking, and she said, isn't it supposed to be this way? And I go, yeah, but just because it's supposed to be this way, it's supposed to go down this road, doesn't make it any easier to accept or just go, okay. We still have to be wise as serpent and gentle as doves and you know, realize, wow, as this happens, we need to hold on to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to understand and grow and go in the Word and get into the Word and let the Word get into us, because it's going to be easier. It'd be easy for me just to try and rip this guy apart. And what I got to do is not just rip this guy apart, but stay strong in the Word. Stay strong in the Lord. Listen to what He says. Do what He calls us to do, and do it on a daily basis. You know, tomorrow we're going to look at it, because it goes on to tell us how to deal with fools, how to deal with sluggards, how to deal with gossips. That's for tomorrow. Fools. There's tons of them. Sluggards. There are a lot of them. And this is just one area in scriptures that tells us this, but how to deal with those people, and I mean gossips. We're in a battle, and it's not just with ISIS and Islam and radical Islam and all this other kind of stuff. We are in a battle right now for our very souls, for the spiritual awareness of knowing that Jesus Christ is God who came to this earth. He came here to die. He wasn't killed, as old O'Reilly says, killing Jesus, because he keeps it in the same title as killing Patton and killing Lincoln and all this other stuff. Jesus is God, and we have to stop treating him like one of our bros and a great prophet and a good man. I mean, you can sit with a pompous attitude in front of a bunch of people and be really an intellectual guy like O'Reilly is. He's actually coming close, if not actually blaspheming, by using Jesus' name as some kind of a dude. Jesus is God in human flesh. We need to get back to that reverent aspect of it and understand that everything that happened was planned by God. And Jesus was not dragged through the streets screaming and kicking and unwillingly went. He laid down his life. He willingly gave his life, even for the likes of the McLarens and the O'Reillys. And it's tough to put those both in the same camp, but they're both just as divisive and just as destructive to the Word of God and to what we actually believe. We need to listen to the truth, and the truth is the Word of God. Not just my take on it, or what I think about it, but what does the Word of God say? And allow the Spirit of God to minister to you through the Word of God on a daily basis. You'll grow in your relationship with Him, and your knowledge, and your wisdom, and you'll be able to start applying these things to daily life. So, you go, why do you take these current events? Because the title of this is A Minute with Pastor Mike, and the body is How to Live According to the Word of God in Today's World. We're living with all this stuff. This stuff is getting pumped into us daily. I realized the other day we were watching television, just regular television in the evening, and all the shows now, all the television shows now, just have no problem cussing. Just using what we would consider to be curse words or vulgar words just randomly. And then you start looking at different people you like in different shows, and you watch them, and they have a tendency. One guy usually says this all the time. I really love the show Blue Bloods. Marie and I watch it. We really like it. But they started delving into bizarre topics and pretty much supporting anti-gun stuff, even the cop show, and supporting homosexuals. And then one of the guy, Danny, played by Wahlberg, always has one little curse phrase he says all the time. Every time something happens, he says it. Now, is it real? I think probably most people act like that. Most people talk like that. But we don't need to be pumping that into us. So it's just, it never used to be that way on television. I was talking the other day. I remember when the most outlandish thing that had ever happened on television was when Carol O'Connor, who played Archie Bunker, flushed the toilet upstairs in their house. And you could hear it flush. Nothing like that had ever happened on television ever before. That was so tame to what it is today, where people just randomly curse. So if your children are anywhere around and you watch any of those shows, then they're going to be exposed to that kind of language as being normal, regular way people talk. Boy, we're in a weird place. We need to change. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I hope you do that. Get into the Word. Let the Word get into you. And that will be the change that you need. So you guys have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow, the 26th of March.